You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We don't do it often, okay, but we're making a gigantic exception today, and we're having, that's right, I know, we don't do it, but we're having a soldier from the United States Army on All Marine Radio. So, Parker, do you have any idea what an honor and the rare company that you're walking into right now?
Oh, yeah, man, this is great. excited to be here.
First of all, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Nielsen talks all kinds of trash about you, so you better not be a stiff. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
What did he say about me, man? I'm kind of curious.
No,
He
says all good stuff. Yeah. But let us before we start talking about Turner Construction and your path, we need to learn about you. So, born and raised where?
I was born in northern New Mexico in a pretty small town, about 7,000 people, called Raton.
Northern New Mexico, man, that's a beautiful part of the country. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, when you get to middle New Mexico and south, a little bit desolate down that way. But the northern part of New Mexico is, you know, absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah, man, it's a great place to grow up. You know, tons of open space and a lot of fishing and hunting. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So how does the Army get on your radar?
Like 2004, I was kind of, I had attempted college right out of high school, and
right.
It didn't go great for me, so I was back
Where'd you go to college?
CSU Pueblo, which is a smaller college in Colorado,
yep.
Southern Colorado.
Yep. All right.
So, but it didn't work out. So I was back home, and then I had a couple buddies that, they joined up, and, I was kind of sitting around not doing much, so, you know, I couldn't just sit around and, watch all my buddies go off and fight the war. So, you know, I wanted to get out of the town. I was bored. So I signed up for the military.
All right. So tell us why the Army, though. Okay. So you signed up for the military, but did you, look at the few, the proud and say, yeah, that's not for me. What was the deal?
I walked right in there and I walked right back out, man. No, I'm just kidding. So both my grandfathers were in the infantry, in the Army, in World War II. I think that had a big impact on me. I looked up to both of those guys, so, you know, that had something to do with it. And
No, say no more, because, it seems to be for a lot of guys who have military service in their family. I mean that as gender non-specific when I say guys, but men and women that, you know, that you, when you grew up looking at certain pictures on the wall of your grandpa's house and you see those things, it's a huge influence on you as a young person when you go in terms of, I want to serve and I want to be like, and if it's my uncle, if it's my aunt, it's my grandpa, you know, or whoever, that has a huge impact. And, in the infantry, were they in Vietnam? Korea?
World War II.
Whoa.
So I had one fought in the Pacific and one fought in Europe. So I had, two pretty good role models growing up.
Wow. All right. So you, you joined the United States Army. Where do you go through, where do you do basic training?
Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Yeah. I thought that was the home of armor. Is that the home of all, do they have recruit training there? And then you go to your specialty branch or what?
Well, no. So armor school is different. So you have your basic training and your MOS training.
Okay.
All combined into like a 3-month program.
Right. And you were going to become an infantryman, right?
No, I was a tanker.
Oh, all right. So that explains Fort Knox. I'm actually a graduate of the, I think it's the school, the Advanced Armor Course. Yeah. How about that? At Fort Knox,
awesome.
Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah. I was a resident there for a while.
All kinds of stuff in common.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, when I was in Kentucky, one of the most interesting things that happened was somebody had to get a driver's license. and they came back with a form. And at the time in Kentucky, it said on the form, signature, and then in parentheses, or make your mark.
Yeah.
We saw that. We're like, what? They're like, yeah, that's how they do it here in old Kentucky. And no, it's a beautiful state. So you go to Fort Knox, and where do you head in terms of operating units?
So after Fort Knox, I went to Freiburg, Germany, and I was attached with 137 Armor.
137 Armor. Okay. And so now, what year are we talking about?
This would be 2004.
So 2004, and things
going into 2005.
Yeah, things are just getting kicking off relative to the insurgency and it growing. Talk to me about, so you guys go from Germany to Iraq, right? And where do you go?
So early 2005, like January 2005, we deployed to northern Iraq, a little south of Mosul. A little place called Rabia. We were right on the border of Syria.
Right.
And we were kind of running a checkpoint there on the border to kind of make sure weapons and things like that weren't coming across. But we stayed there for about 3 months, and then our unit got moved down to Ramadi.
In 2005?
Yes.
The chosen people were in Ramadi. Talk to me about your experience in Ramadi. That place was crazy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So Ramadi was completely different from where we had just come from. Like, it was just...
so, you wait a minute. So, just so people know, I mean, out on the Syrian border, I mean, how big was it? Was there a village you were living in? Or was it, what was the biggest city near you?
I mean, the village we were in was probably 500,000 people, maybe. I don't know. Wasn't that big at all.
Yeah, 500,000. And Ramadi is a big city.
Ramadi's massive.
Right. And you were,
man,
were you
kill you.
were you part, so were you over at Camp Ramadi and working with, in 2004, I was in Ramadi in 2004, and the place is Thunderdome, and it stayed that way till like 2007. You know, Fallujah got a lot of the stuff written about it. It was on in Ramadi like all the time, and it was the first BCT that was over there when I was there. And so did you go to Camp Ramadi and work out of there?
So this was like 2006, I'm sorry. So this was, okay. we got there in January 2006. And so, yeah, at first we started out at Camp Ramadi, but eventually we ended up on the other side of Euphrates, which is the east side of Ramadi, which is probably the worst part of Ramadi. And basically what we did was we pushed into the city and kind of set up combat outposts and then operated from there and tried to, you know, get rid of the insurgency there.
The combat outposts in the city. I was there. I was in Fallujah in 2006, and I used to.
Yeah.
There was a. We called them glimmers, but they're rocket launchers. This thing would be. These things would go off, and Fallujah was still a violent place, but it wasn't even in the same orbit as Ramadi was. They would be shooting these multiple rocket launchers. And you're like, what the hell's going on? And you'd walk into COC and say, hey, what's going on? And they'd be like, yeah, they're dropping a train station in Ramadi. Like, wow. Wow. And like, you know, we've been fighting around the train station since 2004 and now we're destroying it. And,
it was
crazy.
It was absolutely insane. It wasn't anything like I've ever experienced in my life before. It was very intense.
Okay, so are you in a tank then? Are you in a Bradley? Are you in a Humvee? What are you driving around in?
So mostly Abrams tanks. But every once in a while, like a Humvee, we get in a Humvee and drive around, you know. But
okay.
Mostly.
All right. Why? Well, if you could be in an Abrams tank, why would you ever get in a Humvee?
Oh yeah, and then I had us doing all kinds of different stuff. It wasn't okay. Just. I mean, every once in a while, you know, you'd have to go on a foot patrol, or you'd have to go, you know, whatever.
Okay.
It wasn't just strictly tanks.
All right. Talk to me about so you guys set up a combat outpost in Ramadi, and then are you guys there for a year, total deployment?
Yeah. So we spent, I was there for 9 months before I hit an IED, but, okay. My unit and our combat, the Ready First Combat team, they stayed there for like over a year.
You know what? I'll tell you what. We used to stay, our battalions used to stay for 7 months. Our headquarters would stay for a year. And our battalions were, I thought a year was for a line unit, a combat unit, tanks, artillery, and infantry in particular. I thought that if you're out there and among it every day, a year is too long. And I always felt for the Army guys because you go home on leave, right? You say goodbye, and then you go home on leave. And that's brutal, you know, because, you know, especially at that time, there were guys getting killed and whatnot. And then you had to say goodbye again, and that sucks.
It was I mean, you're going on like 15-month deployments, some guys.
Right. And then, you know, to include the workup and yeah, it's the Army. I don't know if they got that right. I'll say that. That's a long time. I knew reserve guys from Minnesota that were at Camp Fallujah then in 2006. They're called the Red Bulls. Anyway, they mobilized, I want to say, a year before they deployed. They were down in Fort Polk, Louisiana, training, I want to say, for 5 months before the deployment. They did the deployment of, I think the entire deployment's 13 months to include the leave period. So now you're up to 18. Then they got extended for 90 days. The E word. And those guys, and everybody felt horrible for them. And then they got told that they weren't eligible for some GI Bill benefit because they were short by a day. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in the Minnesota legislature, but I would fix that lest one of these crazy, pissed off guys comes down and goes crazy on somebody. But that's a long time away from your family.
Yeah, it's and I mean, a lot can happen in a year and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Especially when you're in a place like Ramadi.
Oh my God. So, give everybody a little bit. So you go out on a patrol, an armored patrol. Let's just say you're in your tank. At that time, what were you doing? Were you driving? Were you gunning? Were you commanding? What were you doing?
At the time, I was in the loader's spot, so I was, kind of the left side of the tank.
Okay.
We were at an Abrams.
All right, so you're in the loader slot.
Yeah.
And what's it like going on patrol?
I mean, in Ramadi, man, it's crazy. You know, there's tons of IEDs, people shooting at you all the time, people shooting RPGs at you all the time. It's just, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, you're always on the edge.
And then you had the whole suicide vehicle-borne IED where any vehicle, you know, could swerve and you had that going. I mean, to me, that was the biggest difference between Iraq and Afghanistan. Those guys were deadly in Iraq and Afghanistan, and not so much. And you had to deal with that every day. Tell me about how did you get wounded?
So December 24th, 2006,
nice.
We were kind of the lead vehicle in a convoy, and hit an IED, a pretty big one, and, you know, knocked me out, woke up on the ground, medic working on me, and the last thing I remember was just kind of getting in the helicopter, and they flew me out. That was it. Woke up 3 days later in D.C. at Walter Reed.
In D.C.? Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about your injury. What happened?
So when it first happened, one of my legs was gone already, but they ended up having to amputate both legs above the knee.
Okay.
Because of the blast. And that, I mean, I broke both arms, broke my back. Got a concussion.
Well, okay, so what vehicle were you in that day, Matt?
I was in an Abrams, M1.
Now, infantry guys are listening going, how could you get those kind of injuries inside an Abrams? What did you guys hit?
Well, I mean, it wasn't typical. That was very unusual. Right. Normally, you know, we'd hit an ID and just the track would fall off, and then we'd have to wait for somebody to come pull us out of there.
Right.
But I mean, they just put it in the right place. It was a pressure plate IED, and what they did was they kind of put the, you know, the triggering device over here by the track, and they ran the IED just in the right spot to where it you know, hit right underneath the turret of the tank. So the bottom of the tank is the least amount of armor.
Right. So they offset it a bit. Wow.
Yeah. Boy. It was offset just right, and, you know.
Okay.
Right through the bottom of the tank into the turret.
Talk to us about your time at Walter Reed. What was that like? I mean, you get there and, you know, you're trying to, I guess, wrap your head around what happened to your body, your future, and all of that. Tell us about your time at Walter Reed.
Well, at first, man, it was just, I was just devastated, man. I didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
Were you married?
No. At the time, I was single.
Okay.
So, you know, I had a... Yeah, it's like you question what's going to happen in the future. What can I do now? You know, what's it going to be like? It takes you a while to get over that hump. But, you know, a few months. It took a few months, but, you know, once I started doing, like, physical therapy and I saw, like, what other guys are doing with it, it kind of gave me a little bit of hope. And I kind of, you know, my attitude kind of turned around pretty quick at that point.
Most of us having never had that experience of being in Walter Reed, or Bethesda for those of us in the Marine Corps, is the camaraderie and other guys, is that a huge part of getting through all this?
Well, of course, man. You know, picking each other up, being able to have a sense of humor about it, being able to, you have somebody to connect with, somebody who's been through a similar situation as you. And, it helps you to, you know, put everything into perspective. And it really goes a long way to helping you get through, you know, all the tough times and helps you get through your therapy and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge part.
Yeah. Because it's what you know, right? It's what you're familiar with. Guys come in, they start talking to you. You've seen the progress they're making. I guess they would come in and
Definitely.
Say, "Hey man, I was in the same spot 90 days ago. And, here's what you're going to go through." And with all the different various aspects of it between, you know, just managing the, in fact, a good friend of mine's son went through a window, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks ago. He has night terrors, and he's 26, and he got out of bed, and he dove through a window from a third-story building, and he fell a story, but he sliced, you know, his both his arms and his legs down to the bone, I was talking to him about how hard those injuries, you know, can be, not so much physically, because the cuts are real clean, right? They're glass cuts to the bone, so everything's still there. It's not like a blast injury. And he said, the doctor told me that. He said, you know, I've seen blast injuries in Iraq and Afghanistan, and these are all very clean, and we can repair a lot of it. The big question is the nerves, and, you know, and we're pretty good at that, too. So, but so we started talking about the mental part of it, and he was telling me about the different medications he's taking in concert. He can't sleep. And he called me. He called me like at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I'm like, what the hell? Hello? He said, "Hey, Mr. Max, you said I could call you anytime I wanted." I said, "I didn't mean that, you dumbass. What are you doing?" And he starts laughing. And then we talked for about an hour. But that whole piece, the physical piece of your body trying to heal, the medications inside your body, and all the rest of that, that is not a small feat, is it, Matt?
No, man. It's a lot to overcome. But like I said, you just have to have a good mental attitude about it, man. You just gotta, you know, you have to, early on, I said, I'm not going to let this isn't going to defeat me. I'm going to continue to, you know, try and do my best and try and achieve things, and it's just not going to ruin my life.
Right. That's, you know, again, that's, there's a lot of hard days, though, right, that go, I mean, saying that and living it are two different things. Talk to us about how does Turner get on your horizon? I mean, obviously now, what happens to you? What are you going to do for the rest of your life?
All right. So at Walter Reed, you know, there's a lot of great people there.
Right.
And obviously, one of them is Bob Nielsen. And you know, he he's got his 100 Entrepreneurs program, and he's done so much for, you know, all the vets there, and he's really committed to trying to figure out what guys are passionate about, what guys have done before, or trying to get guys to start their own businesses. And so, you know, just in my time talking with him while I was at Walter Reed, you know, I mentioned to him that I had a background in construction, and he kind of got me thinking about the construction management side of construction, not necessarily swinging hammers and whatnot.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just through talking with Bob, that's kind of how I got set in this direction.
All right. Had you ever had any thought about going into construction before?
Well, yeah, I grew up, my dad was a contractor, so.
Okay.
And, you know, I was a carpenter before I joined the military, so I had the background. It's just, and I knew, you know, I'm not going to be going up ladders anymore. I'm not going to be carrying shingles. I'm not going to be, you know, using equipment anymore. It's just but I wasn't aware of this whole other side of it, which is the management side of it. Well, you don't need to do that. You just need to, you know, be able to plan and execute your plan. And, you know, so he kind of opened up my eyes to this whole other side of construction. And plus, I wasn't really familiar with commercial construction either.
Got it. For guys that have been small unit leaders, and where we're working with Turner right now, Matt, is that they're looking to hire 40 to 50 veterans. They'd like them to have combat theater experience, and which would mean that you've worked under pressure before, right? Not that you don't do that outside of that, and that's not a hard line. I mean, if you don't have it, they still want to talk to you. But there's an awful lot of similarities between being a small unit leader and taking those same skills, moving into the construction field, and continuing to do the same thing. Yes or no?
Oh, of course. I mean, if you can lead troops, or if you've been in combat before, anything you're going to do outside of that in construction is not even going to be comparable. There's nothing, you know, as intense or as hard as that was.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make relative to becoming a leader in construction vice a leader in the Army?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just it's a different culture that, you know, civilians operate different than the military. You kind of have to get yourself out of that military mindset and kind of be a little more open to, you know, the civilian way of life or the way civilians do things. But and like I said, it's just if you can overcome what you've done in combat, if you can overcome, basically my biggest hurdle was overcoming my injuries. Man, I'm a bilateral above the knee amputee. That was the biggest hurdle for me, is you know, trying to just the physical aspect of it. But so I mean, that's basically it. It's just
my guest today, Matt Parker. Hey, Matt, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, I got a couple emails from guys that are listening, and I want to go through those with you. So we're talking about veterans in the construction leadership positions. Okay, and the two have incredible similarities. Leading a group of people, having a task, coordinating, and making sure you get that stuff done. Got to be done on time, and you got to supervise that stuff. So Matt Parker, gracious enough to join us. He's a sergeant, United States Army, retired now, and so we're going to continue our discussion with him on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug. It starts out as a 10-pound block of aluminum. After you mill, machine, and anodize it, it's ready for you to make your own. Everyone is serialized, and with Picatinny rails on the side, those are the rails on your weapon. Anything you could put on your weapon, you could put on your mug, and whether it be a scope, whether it be a light or a laser, all of that works, okay? And if you're going to use it indoors, emblems, unit insignia, all of that, you can find at battlemug.com, as well as a whole line of other products that are very, very, very cool. So check them out. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battlemug is a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States. More of Matt Parker, United States Army, coming up next on a Thursday edition when we talk transition here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. $7.50 on a Thursday. We talk transitions on Thursday. My guest is a former United States, well, retired United States Army Sergeant of Armor, and that is Matt Parker. Matt, so what are you doing now? Are you currently employed by Turner? What are you doing now?
Oh, yeah, I'm still working for Turner. Right now I'm an estimator, so And basically what I do is I kind of quantify the drawing, put a number to it, and then give it to the owner. Go out and chase new work, things like that.
Okay. All right. So how long have you, how long, what year did you start to start working for?
So I started, so after I got out of Walter Reed, I went to CSU and got a construction management degree. And so I started working with them in 2013.
CSU is Colorado State?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, 2013, I started my internship with them and, I've been with them ever since. I worked, the last semesters of college with them. And, so I originally started out at the VA hospital. They're building a new billion-dollar VA facility out here.
Wow.
And so, you know, that was an awesome project to start out on, obviously. Just because of, you know, what we were building and what the purpose of that building was going to be after we were done. But, so after about a year of that, I transitioned into, estimating, which is, you know, kind of a better fit for me.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Well, when I was on site, there was a lot of, you know, I was out on the site every day. I was checking up with subs every day. I was running a lot of meetings every day, a lot of physical activity. I mean, it was great. It was great to get me out there, but, estimating is a little bit more of an office type role, so right. A little more desk job type thing. And it's just a better fit for, I guess, where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right. The, let me read you a couple emails. Hey, Mac, First of all, want to thank you for doing this. I'm casting about, and to be honest with you, I'd never really considered a career in construction management, although I've been a small unit leader in the Marine Corps for going on 12 years now. It seems to me all those skills that I developed as an NCO would translate very naturally to that kind of work. I'd be curious about what Matt has to say about that. Does he feel like a four-year degree is necessary in the field, or could I step out of my career as a non-commissioned officer and then as a staff non-commissioned officer, and then in parentheses, I'm a staff sergeant now, and do well in the field of construction management / leadership? So, Matt, your thoughts. NCOs kind of built for this kind of stuff, or what?
Sure, man. It's about if you can put together a team, formulate a plan, and execute that plan, that's basically what it's all about. It's about making sure the job's getting done. It's about having a good plan in place. It's about managing people. And I think that all those skill sets are as a leader in the military, you kind of gain those kind of skill sets, and they're very transferable into the world of construction. As far as the background, not everybody that's doing this right now has a degree in construction management or has a degree in engineering. Some people came in, you know, with, I'm one of the smartest guys I know, he has a history degree and he's just been doing this for so long. You just gain the knowledge over time. But what they really need is people that can have good organizational skills, that can manage people, that can keep people on track, keep people on task. And I think that'd be very fitting for an NCO coming out of the military.
Okay, perfect. Let me read you another one. Hey, Mac, awesome. Love to hear these stories. By the way, Ramadi was an absolute shithole back in those days. So good on Matt for coming to the western part of Iraq and helping us out. We love those guys, whether it was the first BCT, second BC team, or BCT or anybody else who would roll into the city to support what we were doing. They were great fighters. They were courageous soldiers, and we loved it when we would hear them coming and see those big tanks. Man, I tell you what, there is nothing like it. And they used to scare the shit out of the shitheads. They wanted no part of those guys. My question for Matt is, did he have any options in terms of where he worked around the country? My understanding is that Turner's an international company. Is it a requirement to relocate? If I'm interested, what are my options relative to where I work?
So Turner is that's the awesome thing about Turner is Turner is international. Turner is in every major city in the United States, plus they do tons of work internationally, Middle East, Asia. some Southern American, we do a little bit of work down there. We're up in Canada. You have tons of options, and it's such a large company. And the nice thing about Turner is they'll work with you. If you want to stay in the area you're in, if there's a place you want to go, something you want to see, they'll work with you to try and make that happen for you. And that's one of the things that I like about them most is, you know, I said, hey, I want to stick around Denver. And so they opened up a spot and he made me feel welcome, and they, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities here.
And so in terms of location, Turner's probably in most major cities around the country?
Yes, they're East Coast to West Coast. They're kind of, you know, if you get up into, like, the Pacific Northwest, I think we have in Oregon. But if there's, you know, like Montana, the Midwest, there's not really much going on there. There's some large offices in Ohio. But, yeah, they're all over the place.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Is there a website where they would go to find the places that Turner is located, or should they just pick up the phone and call Turner and ask to talk to somebody?
Well, yeah, man, you can go to I think it's turnerconstruction.com.
Okay.
And it has a list of local offices. But yeah, just pick up the phone and, I guess I could provide you some contact information after we get off.
Well, we can get that. I'll have Nielsen come on and talk about that.
He'd be perfect for that, actually.
Okay. Next email. Hey, Mac. Question. What was it like to work with civilians as opposed to soldiers? We have our own way of leading in the military. Was that a challenge for Matt, or did he overcome that pretty quickly and just learn to deal with guys or women as they are? So, Matt, I know that worries a lot of guys that, you know, hey, I've kind of learned it this way. Is that going to be good? Is that going to be not good? Pushing people, is that something I should do, I shouldn't do? How do you push people? Talk about navigating that because it's different.
Well, yeah, it's completely different. I mean, you're not going to be able to go up and, you know, scream in somebody's face in the civilian side of things. But, yeah, it's just it's basically, I mean, you have the leadership skills that you need. And that's a lot of the kids that come out of college, they lack those skills. They might have book smarts or whatever. But what they don't have is they've never really been tested or had to lead people in a stressful situation. So, I mean, in that sense, you already have the leg up. You have the advantage. But you have to kind of tone it down a little bit because this isn't the military anymore.
Right.
It's not so much yelling, but it's about just talking with people, having people skills, having a plan, and being able to execute that plan. But, it's going to be different.
Did it take you long to adjust to that, Matt?
Not really. I had gone through 4 years of college, so I was kind of acclimated to kind of, you know, what was the mindset of the average everyday person at that point, right? Somebody that hadn't been in the military.
Right.
And so that, you know, it kind of opened my eyes as to really how they thought about things and what they knew about us and how so that helped a lot in shaping how I was able to transition from college, the military, into the workforce.
All right. My guest on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio is Matt Parker. He's a sergeant, United States Army, retired. He's a veteran of combat in Ramadi that we all, a lot of us know and love, who've been around All Marine Radio. And Matt was wounded there. And now an estimator at Turner Construction. One more email, Matt, and I'll let you get back to work. Hey, Mac, if I wanted to do international work, is there any special thing I would have to do, or simply when I'm interviewing with Turner, do I simply have to let them know that that's my interest? So how do you go about that, Matt?
So the international side of the business is, it's a little unique. They kind of want a more experienced person, a more well-rounded person. So what they want is someone that kind of worked in the States, but they've been in multiple roles. This is my understanding of it. And then you're able to apply. You know, you put your name out there and say, hey, I want to get into international work. And then, you know, your business unit leaders will try and make that happen for you.
Okay.
It's a very competitive process because a lot of people want to do it. A lot of people like to travel, obviously.
Oh, really?
But it is doable, and but they're looking for a little more well-rounded person, a guy with a little more experience. But yeah, I mean, it is a possibility.
Okay. All right. One more question, and then I'll really let you go. Hey, Mac, I'm curious about mentorship at Turner. It seems like if they're reaching out to veterans, there must already be a fair number of veterans in the organization. Did Matt find the company welcoming relative to veterans, and did other veterans in the company reach out to him when he showed up?
Yeah, this company is great. They're very welcoming. They're very accepting of veterans. And the nice thing about Turner is I go to these networking events, or I'll go to you go drink beer with the company leaders or whatever, and you just meet, every time I do something, I meet a new guy that was in the military, had military experience. That's another great thing about construction is there are tons of guys that are ex-military guys, and that really helps a lot because people kind of, have a better understanding of just where you are, where you're coming from. I mean, there's tons of just regular, civilian guys, but there are a lot of military guys. And Turner is very accepting, and they are, as far as mentors go, Turner has great leadership, very, very intelligent, and they do. They take you in, and they're gonna show you a path to success. They're gonna take you under the wing. They're gonna give you the tools you need. They're gonna give you the information you need, the knowledge you need to be successful.
Matt Parker. All right, Matt, what do people need to know that I haven't been smart enough to ask you?
Shit, man, I don't know. about me or about Turner? I don't know.
About either one. We're not particular. All right, Matt, first of all, you don't mind coming back on occasion. It's guys like you that tell your story that I think make it make sense for other guys. Let me tell you, I think there's, because of these shows, there's people that never thought about really a career in construction that have emailed me and said, I'd never really thought about that, but the more I think about it, it's an absolute fit for somebody like me. I like being outdoors. I like working with, groups. And, what I've gravitated to in the Marine Corps is my life as a small unit leader. And, wow, thanks for opening my eyes a bit. So, obviously, Matt, you're the guy who helped open those eyes. So I appreciate you coming on, and I hope you don't mind in the future if I give you a call and we bring you back on to talk more veterans into construction stuff.
Yeah, sure, man. I'd love to come back. This is the first time I've ever been on the radio, so maybe I'll kind of hone my skills a little bit.
No, you're great. You're great. You have a great Matt. I'll tell you what. You have a great story, and the adversity, obviously, that life has put in your way that you have overcome and continue to do on a daily basis inspires the rest of us. And I know you know that. And on behalf of your Marine brothers, want to wish you all the best of luck. Your courage and your example, as I said, is hugely inspirational to us as veterans. We're incredibly proud of you and really want to thank you a lot for coming on this morning.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me. And it was great. And like I said, I would love to come back. And, it's great to help out other veterans. And I'm always here for that. And, I think it's a great thing. And I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Have a great day, Matt. Thanks.
All right. You too, Matt. Thanks.
All right. There you have it. That is Matt Parker. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Seth Jordan. Seth is a former Marine officer. He started an organization called Dog Tag Brewing, and it has a foundation. They do great work with Gold Star families. They're a brewery, though. Yeah, go figure. So we're going to talk a little bit about veteran entrepreneurship. Justin Constantine introduced me to Seth, and so we'll do that right after this on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.